Studio 360.
Leonor Caraballo and Abu Farman were married and collaborated on lots and lots of art projects. And when Caraballo was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2008, she wanted to somehow make sense of the disease, artfully, visually.
I hadn't seen this tumor. I knew it wanted to kill me, but I didn't really understand what it meant.
So they took some MRI images of her tumor and then used a 3D printer to create sculptures and jewelry of the gnarled cancer itself.
For me, it's a reminder that I hate the word survivor, but that I'm here and this thing is out of my body and, you know, and I feel more powerful than it.
We aired a story about that project back in 2012. Sadly, since then, Caraballo has died. Her husband and collaborator Farman told us it was all the worse because they'd thought her health problems were completely behind her.
It was 5 years in. Nobody had any issues. The scans were clean. The doctors were confident. We were all confident. It was almost at that stage where you could start forgetting. And I, in the meantime, introduced her to ayahuasca, which is plant, a hallucinogenic and medicinal plant used in the Amazon. And so just as it was her habit, she never did anything sort of half-assed. So she just sort of tried to go and find the best practitioner and so on. And after a bit of research, she found somebody that she thought was she could work with. She just went to Peru. I was teaching at the time. I didn't go. She returned and she said two things. One was that while she took ayahuasca this time in Peru, she saw her own death. Everything seemed so sure at that time, medically speaking. You know, I thought, well, yes, I mean, this is one of the things ayahuasca, the vine, does. It's called the vine of the dead. It reveals your death to you and it confronts you on that existential level. And that's more or less how I interpreted it. At the same time, she came back and she was stunned and she said, there's life on every surface. And so she said very quickly after that, I want to make a film. Mateo, her co-director, and Leo went on a trip to the Amazon to do research. Once it was established that we're going to start this film, we're going to start writing it, they're going to start writing and we're going to look for financing. On that trip, she felt a pain in her chest. She said immediately it's cancer. It was in her ribs. She called up her surgeon. The surgeon said, it's impossible. You've been so clean. The surgery 5 years ago was great. There's no indication. This is just probably some muscular thing. We'll look at it when you come back. She comes back. MRIs show tumors in her bones. Biopsy confirms it, and the metastasis starts. We had to face that question. What do we do? Do you continue or do you stop? The question of how to make that decision, how to evaluate things, what's worth what? How much life and what kind of life? How much time, what kind of time? She went on a trial drug that stabilized the spread. It seemed to have been halted temporarily anyway. But still, it was clear that if she were to go on a shoot, that her body would be working on something else instead of working on managing the cancer. At the same time, she said, I don't have time, and I don't want to just sit here wait for death. I want to do this film. But, you know, we were complicit in this together, and we knew, and she knew, that we risk hastening her death in this. Morally, emotionally, it's very fraught. It's a very complicated thing to manage. But we dove in, and we knew that we had to actually accelerate things, not go through the usual channels of making a film. We just had to finish the script ASAP, get going. When we got down to the Amazon to shoot, she said, this is crazy. I said, we can go back. And then 10 minutes later, she said, no, let's keep going. The plot developed because the film had to have a plot, but then eventually the plot also became autobiographical. It's the story of an American woman named Angelina who goes down to the Amazon in search of something like a miracle.
Did you just arrive?
Yeah.
Today. How long have you been here?
She meets there a young Shipibo shaman, and through these ceremonies, he lets her know that the real disease, as he says, is susto, which is a disease of fear. And he, in turn, is going blind, so she helps him along the way move towards an understanding that his job is, in the end, to see in the dark and to see with ayahuasca, not to see just in the world. And so he takes on his commitment to shamanism. I think what she did was she made this creative act part of her dying, and the dying became itself a creative act. I remember seeing distinctly there's a scene with a mosquito net in the middle of the jungle, and that was shot early on in the first couple of days. I remember when we set up the mosquito net and the actress crawled in and everything was coming down, and the AD called silence, and I just suddenly saw very clearly that Leo was directing her death in that scene. That just hit, I think it hit home for everyone. And she was very happy to have made this film. It was really satisfying for her. Of course, it was not satisfying when towards the middle of the edit, or the more towards the beginning of the edit after the first rough cut, it became clear she's not going to survive through the whole process and that she would not see her own film. The very, very end was very precipitous. It happened within weeks, but she was involved from her deathbed. She would talk to a friend of ours who was visiting, who saw the first cut, and she would say, in the middle of, you know, dealing with nephrostomy tubes and kidney failure, she would be talking to him about his opinion of the weaknesses of the film. Yes, I agree with you, this is a problem. You know, she'd be saying that while she was having lung failure. That doesn't mean that she was in death denial. That doesn't mean that she didn't want, she was afraid of dying. But other than that, you know, there was, I think, a fully creative choice. It was a sort of an experiment in dying for her and for the rest of us also, because it became something that became part of her afterlife, in which her presence continued with us in very important ways. Her intentions, her aesthetics, her vision, all of these things became part of how we also continued with her and without her through the making of the film, through the finishing of the film. But we kind of continued to use the present tense with her. She's still active. She has agency. She has an effect on us and on things. On the night of her death, as everybody had gathered around at that point, there was a snowstorm. On the anniversary of her death this year, there was a snowstorm. And that's also when a friend of ours turned around with the storm that just came this year and said, Leo doesn't do anything half-assed.
The film is called Icarus, A Vision. It was directed by Leonor Caraballo and Matteo Norzi. You can see some images of the sculptures, Object Breast Cancer, at studio360.org. Our piece was produced by Eric Malinsky.